Otter is also an application that you can put on, and it will actually become a guest on every single Google Meet, Zoom call, all of your video calls, and it will do the same thing. It'll sit there and listen, and then you'll have a summary of that conversation, and then you can build tasks from what was discussed. Very, very helpful tool.
So I want to start out and just give some gratitude to Sean. Sean, I've known you for a couple of years, and I really have learned a lot from you, and I consider you my friend. And your existence in the automotive space, even though my podcast is for power sports exclusive dealers, right? There's a lot of similarities between them. And so some of the success that I've had in working in power sports, especially in the digital ecosystem, I've learned a lot from you, and I've been able to apply some of these practices and programs and even tactics, strategy, if you will, to power sports. And it's made me successful. And I know that I'm not the only guy that you help. You're pretty generous with your time. And you give that to a lot of other people. In my same kind of situation, maybe they're overseeing a store, a couple stores. And so just wanted to start out with a nice little thank you for all the years of mentorship and friendship that you've shown me. And I know a lot of other people out there as well. You're an awesome dude, and I'm glad that we've caught each other here on the podcast.
Well, thanks for saying that, man. I appreciate it. Yes, we are friends. It kind of feels like you're one of my friends that I feel like, yeah, it's been a couple of years, but it's actually been quite a longer than 2 or 3 years. Started when I was still kind of working with one of the, I think it was still in the dealer on days, actually.
Yeah.
Those are actually some good memories of doing some of those shows and a Sean Bradley event, Sean V. Bradley event.
Sean V. Bradley.
So, yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
I saw him at Digital Dealer, man. I think I've told you this before. I've known Sean V. Bradley before. I think he went by Sean V. Bradley, and he and I have always been friendly. He was really, really tough when he was on the retail side in the early days of slinging leads. That's when I met him. I was working at Reynolds. We were slinging Microsoft CarPoint leads for dealers, and he was in the dealer world, and he drove a hard bargain for sure. But yeah, we've known each other a long time, and I've always enjoyed his company. I've always, he's got quite a story to tell, and he's helped a lot of dealers, and he's carved his own path for sure. Very, very unique guy.
Yep. Dealer Synergy is his company, and
they got
orange ties. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We're talking about Digital Dealer when we reconnected there. This was just a couple weeks ago. And I actually did make it a point to go to his roundtable there on the last day and got to listen to him talk about BDCs and internet sales and kind of how his processes and just doing some basic math of opportunities coming in versus worked versus, appointments shown and sold. So it was interesting to kind of hear how his methodology around the internet game has evolved a little bit more over the years since, first meeting you way back in the day at one of his events, It's
yeah.
kind of interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I probably owe it to myself, to listen to him and some of the others that have taught on sales process and BDC, building BDC, BDC processes, to see what, has kind of been updated in a lot of these guys. Because it's not just him. There's a lot of trainers, especially in the automotive side. There's a lot of them, at least. Power sports, I know, not so much. But they've got you now in power sports, and you've got a wealth of experience in that industry. So that's good. But yeah, I bet he was saying some things that were probably informed based on what we've kind of lived through all collectively in the last handful of years, pandemic learnings, people's preferences, supply chain issues, all this, it does make you have to rethink. And one thing about the car business, I don't know if you feel that the power sports business is the same, but people use the word resilient a lot, but the car business certainly has had several of those gut punches. And all of a sudden it's like, we're going to be okay. We're going to figure this out. And it's amazing for an industry that literally lives month to month on a razor's thin margin, which is just, it's still so insane. It's kind of crazy to think that they can go through some of these really devastating financial, especially when interest rates start getting crazy and, you know, like the 08-09 stuff. Those feel lethal almost to industries, and yet the auto industry figures things out. Now, a couple of them got some significant help by all of us, taxpayers and the government, of course, yep, bailing them out a few years ago. But yeah, interesting.
No, you're spot on. I mean, that's why I still keep very much in tune with what's going on in automotive and listen to you, to guys like you, and just kind of keep my ear to the ground, if you will, of what's going on in that industry, because they are so similarly connected just with their business models, you know, sales, service, parts, customers, mm-hmm, inventory, I mean, financing, all the same dynamics apply. It's just the intent of said customer, which product they want to buy, right? And yeah, so I would say that power sports, in my own humble opinion, is just a tiny bit harder, difficult, right? Because we are luxury toys in a sense. And I say this a bunch on my podcast, but a consumer can go their entire life without riding one of our products, right? They can never ride a motorcycle and go through American society just fine and not skip a beat. You probably could not say the same about a car or a truck, right? Our society is just set up with roads and, you know, the culture for driving, right? It's a driven economy, driven society in America. And if you don't have a car, you are at a big disadvantage. Motorcycles, yeah, not so much, right?
Yeah. So that's very, very true. It's sad, yeah, though, because I wish more people, we've talked about this not in recent years, but I wish more people had that joy, that feeling of just throwing your leg over a bike. I know that there's danger to it and there's risk. And I always tell people that haven't ever ridden, and now they're like, hey, Rand, I'm going to go get a Harley. I'm like, please first go through the motorcycle safety training courses in your local, totally, town. Because if you don't know how to counter steer and all that, if you've never ridden your bike like a, you know, a bat out of hell, then you won't know the real feelings of difference on being on a bike. But once people, or they grew up riding like you did, like I did as a kid, there's just nothing like that feeling. So I wish more people actually did, but you're right. Our economy is very much, and our culture in the United States is very much one where it's almost like, you know, everyone has a car, or everybody wants to have a car or has had a car. And it's very, yeah, much driven by that. And it is you could say that the automotive industry, because it is a pillar within the American economy. You couldn't say that exactly the same about the power sports industry or RVs, true, for that matter.
But, very true.
Although they're big industries.
Which, congratulations on you being an RV owner now. I understand that you got into, yeah, that, and you're enjoying life, living out there in the woods every other weekend or so, right?
Yes. Shout out hashtag Jayco. bought a Jayco J Feather trailer back this summer. And yeah, we've been loving it. Me and Mrs. Rains have, we've definitely used it as much as I thought, maybe a little more than I thought we would, since I think we bought it in July. We got it. So, and we bought it in Washington State, which is where my wife and I are both from there. I think you know that. So we were up there, and we just slowly towed that thing back to Texas. And I wish we would have gone even slower, because Texas, the summer was so hot, as if I'm telling you anything about heat when you live in Arizona. But
right.
It was brutal. Everybody, even people who have been in Texas for years, were like, yeah, this past summer was like the worst. And it's Texas weather is insane crazy, and it remained hot. And the first time we tried to use the trailer once we were back in Texas, it was late September. And I thought, yeah, this is probably a good weekend. We pick out this awesome spot down on Lake Whitney, which is kind of between Waco and Fort Worth. And it was 105 that weekend, pretty humid. It felt like we were in hell. It was awful. And so, yeah, that's one of those things where we did realize We're not particularly big fans of camping in extreme heat. So I don't know. People probably say you're kind of bougie, Rains. Like you got to have perfect conditions. But yeah, I love the camping. I love that. Take the dog. Take Mrs. Rains. We go and get it. I mean, we're going to do a lot more adventuring in 2024. There's a lot of cool, fun things planned. So I'm excited for that. But it will not be in 100 plus degree temperatures. No.
Well, I love it. I love it either way, man. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, you and I had talked about kind of covering what you and I had participated in during the Digital Dealer Automotive Expo out in Las Vegas. And just to kind of lead us off here, and then I'll hand it off to you because you were the coach, but we had an AI hackathon. And so I attend these events as much as I can and was curious what the AI hackathon was about. And just kind of coming into it, not really knowing much about it other than the AI hackathon theme, it was pretty exciting to just kind of be thrown the project as almost a mystery as a participant, right, as part of your team and say, okay, here's how we're going to do it. Here's what we're going to do it on. And you're timed, go. And the best result of the end of the AI hackathon wins the championship belt. And so what I'd like to talk to you a little bit about today is just how we used the artificial intelligence programs and how dealerships could also use them as well. So do you want to just kind of walk us through what all that was about and some of the parameters around the rules of the game itself?
Yeah, a first-time event, I think, at Digital Dealer. I was really excited about it. Brent Weiss was, he was the Imagineer on this. Shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. He's very creative. He's a very artistic thinker. I've known Brent. We've been friends for a long time. He was the one that came up with the idea for the AI hackathon, and it was really born out of, hey, this is a good time to let people come in and get their hands dirty and work on some things together. And it will both educate and dispel fear and help people see the tool side, the helpful side to artificial intelligence, and also help maybe separate some of its usefulness in our industry specifically. But also, like for you with power sports, there's a whole lot of things that are, you know, they're adaptable and they work all over the place. So the concept was invite dealers. It ended up being where dealers, as well as, you know, if you worked at a agency, everyone was invited that wanted to participate. And we filled up, I think, 10 tables, maybe there were 12. Brent had identified 10 coaches for the tables that he knew were already either experimenting with or using AI pretty regularly and had been for, you know, at least a couple months. And Brent and I have talked about and shared a lot about the things we've been doing with AI over many, many months. And I don't think he would care that I'd share this with him, but he's actually gone to, you know, kind of prestigious educational institutes and gone through training and programs. He has a peer network that also has participated in a lot of these things. And for people that were there, you heard this and you saw this, but Tom Gregg, who is the one of the founders and I think the CEO at Vehicle Acquisition Network, he got up and shared a few things. He's also spent a lot of time on the educational side. He actually told everybody that the average number of words that should be used in a prompt in ChatGPT is like 450, almost 500 words, which I think everyone's like, whoa, just blew everyone's mind. But if you actually think about the number of words that you write for a well thought out prompt in ChatGPT, the closer you get to 500 words or more, the outcome is amazing. It just starts to really blow your mind. So AI hackathon, the idea was we'll have 10 tables with 10 coaches, 10 coaches that have enough experience that they could be reliable coaches. And then we would give those, all of the groups would have the exact same task or hack to figure out. There were two hacks that were going to happen. they ended up deciding just to use the entire balance of time on one of the hacks. The two hacks that were up for consideration, one was your dealership has had the best controller that's ever lived, but you unfortunately are losing that controller because they're going to retire. So you've got to figure out, how do you replace this amazing employee that's been with you forever? And it basically was a hack that would say, how do you make sure that you create a profile on this controller? Like, what
you want? I got a screenshot of it here. You want me to read that off real quick?
Yeah, read that. That's
okay,
perfect.
Okay. Yeah. So just to piggyback off of Sean's comments here, they didn't tell anybody about what the project would be or what the rules were. We had to all sit down, understand what we were all there to do. Sean's our coach for our table. There was 10 other coaches, like you said. And then boom, they put up this slide on the big TV screen and they said, here's your 25-minute comp hack. And it said, teams need to build the following: a creative brief, a campaign production schedule, a campaign outline ideas, AI brainstorm, campaign headlines, campaign graphics with a 2-channel sizes will suffice, campaign copy, a social post copy deck, 2 blogs that are 750 words each, a landing page copy, a video/radio script, a radio ad or video ad, an organic and paid schedule for 90 days with the channels identified, and then finally a landing page. I mean, boom, that's an entire marketing team, you know, through probably a good 30 days worth of work in the traditional sense of things. Am I right?
Yes, absolutely. And so what you read was the exact basically same request for the second hack, which is what we did, which was take a brand new vehicle that the world has never seen before and create a marketing campaign to launch it that lasts over an entire quarter. And as you remember, somebody at our table was inspired to encourage us to bring to life the Homer, which is
Homer
inspired by the Simpsons TV show. And at the time, although I'm not an anti-Simpsons guy, I'm not a deep level fan that I would have known anything about this episode. Now, since the hackathon, I have very much acclimated myself to this episode, and it's hilarious. But there was a Simpsons episode. I don't know if there were more than one, but there was certainly one where Homer got the opportunity to create his what he thought was the best car ever. And in this particular exercise, we chose to build a marketing plan for the Homer. And we decided that the Homer in 2024 would be an EV, which stands for electric vehicle, for those of you that don't follow the car business as closely as Jacob and I. So in the hackathon, we take the hack for the entire group, all tables. Instead of doing the controller, we say we're going to build a marketing campaign for a vehicle that the world's never seen before. And somebody at our table suggests we'll do the Homer based on the Simpsons. So I wasn't familiar with that episode. I am now. We decided to build a marketing campaign for the Homer, but we were going to make it an electric vehicle, obviously, because, you know, that's everyone wants an electric vehicle. Not really, but, you know, don't read the front page of Automotive News last week. So,
and by the way, I just want to throw a little caveat there. Everybody else came up with a 2024 Toyota or 2024 Ford campaign. We were the only group to come up with a fictitious vehicle, which I thought put us over the top for sure.
I was told by the judges who came up to me unsolicited, I wouldn't have recognized them because they were new guys. I hadn't met them before, but a pack of the judges approached me at the Digital Dealer celebration party Wednesday night and told me to my face that we would have won, that we were only one point away from the winner, and we would have won if we would have been able to put our presentation together. And what's crazy, and I'm going to show it.
If you're a motorcycle and power sports dealer, you already know the biggest marketplace websites are clunky, slow, and riddled with ads. Even if you pay big bucks to list your inventory, your competitors can pay even more to outrank you. That's why we created MotoHunt, Our site is famously streamlined and quick, with no extra nonsense to confuse buyers or dealers. That's why we rank so high in search results without having to spend millions in advertising. Why pay three times as much? At MotoHunt, one low price covers everything a dealer needs to get their inventory listed and collecting leads fast, with no multi-level pricing tiers and no way for your competition to out-premium you. No matter how many listings or leads you generate, your subscription price is the same. Click the link to find out how MotoHunt can help you start generating more leads today.
So the home or vehicle we built with AI, we'll get into this a little bit on the episode. This is what we were trying, the final output of all the work that was done. And so I'm showing everyone and telling a little bit about the final piece. AI, the tool that we use to make what you're looking at right now, it choked on the amount of content that our team had put together on our shared Google Doc. And I promise I'm going to go back and explain these steps as well. But it choked on this, and we were the only team that, and everyone was using this particular same AI tool to create their presentations. And ours didn't actually spit out the results until I got back home and re-uploaded it, and all of a sudden, voila. But all of the teams had way more content than this particular Gamma is what this particular AI tool is called. All of them had more content than the presentations would show, but the presentations would give you a little taste of, well, where are we going with this? And to your point, Jacob, I did as well think that it was the most creative thing to think of a car that, of course, nobody's ever considered. It's never been in production. And all of the points of nostalgia and people that love the show is pretty cool. So I'm just going to click through these slides really quick because there's only a few, right? The distinctive bubble domes.
Let me add to that. So, you know, just in the creative, we had to almost kind of come up with a description for the car, right? Because it's not an existing car.
Totally.
And so with ChatGPT, we gave it, with ChatGPT 4, mind you, not 3.5, we had to give it an image from the cartoon, and ChatGPT gave us a full description of, you know, almost like a call to action, you know, with the distinct bubble domes, you know, big V8, spare tire on the back, the cucaracha horn, you know, and it almost gave us like a product specification for the car itself.
Yeah, it was amazing. And all of the things, and we'll get back into that as well, that it asked us to do. I mean, it was like, hey, write 2 750-word blog articles that promote, right, the release of this vehicle. Write the ad copy for print, video ads, radio ads. You know, there was a lot. You already said it. It was the type of task that's so ambitious that it would take a creative agency weeks, if not a month, or, you know, that they would spend a lot of time typically on a vehicle unveil. That's not something that's done just over weeks. It's literally done over months, right? And if you're going to run that campaign for a course of at least a full quarter, there's a lot to it. So yeah, the custom horns, the sound effects, the Homer electric vehicle's engine sound is designed to mimic, quote, the world's coming to an end. I mean, it was just hilarious. There were so many things about it. This picture is the one, Jacob, I think that you had created on Midjourney, was it?
Canva. Yeah. Canva.
Canva.
So talk about that a little bit. Yeah, it was crazy, right? Because we were trying to not be cartoonish with it. We wanted to have a realistic photo of what this car might be based on the description from the cartoon. And so, like I said, we loaded into ChatGPT the image, said, please describe this car because we want to do a launch of a 2024 electric vehicle version of this. And it did. It gave all the bullet points of all the distinctive visual features of it. I took that description and copied it into Canva and said, Canva AI, please create a realistic version of this description. And so for everybody looking at the screen share here on the video version of this podcast, it's a realistic looking car. I mean, it looks like the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile.
Kind of,
it's oddly shaped, big, huge bubble dome front windshield, you know, big flaring round fenders. But it is a, it kind of looks like a Chevy SSR truck front end, you know, with the headlights.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
yeah,
it is a realistic looking car. And, you know, just a couple other points there is like, okay, now, you know, just kind of going in the timeline, at least how I remember it. And by the way, Sean, you were quarterback in this entire thing. We need this, we need that. But the 10 or so individuals that we had there from all different, you know, they were vendors, they were dealers, a couple of them were coaches, and different backgrounds. They were all, everybody was on their laptop or giving ideas on who's working on what. So, I mean, it was almost beautiful in the sense of the teamwork aspect of it, of being under the gun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the description of it gave us a couple different examples, and it also made a creative video out of it too.
Yeah, you were all over it because your familiarity with Canva, ChatGPT. I mean, some of the tools you're already using, that was helpful. And I think there was a little bit of that at each of the tables, but not a lot. I heard more from people who were like, I had no idea. That even people that are familiar with ChatGPT, but I probably should have known this, but I think there are still a lot of people that are not using a paid version of ChatGPT. They're fine with 3.5. It fits their, you know, what they're using it for as they play around with it. But as you mentioned, we were all using, you know, ChatGPT 4, which I think it's current as of April of this year. So, you know, that makes a pretty significant difference. And it's constantly learning, right? I mean, there's a lot of people interacting with it now. So, as I was, you know, delegating and then also doing some of those things myself, like I was getting those blog articles written and then I was just trying to figure out what everyone's working on. And then if there was a gap, I'd go and grab that stuff. One of the things that I think you mentioned, but when we started this as well, the easiest way to get everybody on the same page was to open a Google Shared doc, which I had kind of jumped the gun on. And you were like, hey, we should probably, and I was like, yes, we totally need to do that. I had forgotten that. So I was really glad that you remembered. That is a great way for people that maybe they're listening to this episode and like, that'd be a fun thing to do. One, it's, you know, whomever you might be reaching out to, if you see this episode and you're like, I want to pick your brain more on that. You know, I'm sure that Jacob would be fine with it. And certainly would I, if you're something that you want to chat about, but it's easy enough to do with, get a Google Doc, get the people that are going to participate, share that with them, and then delegate what tasks are going to be done in order to complete the entire project. We did this a lot of work in 60 minutes. Yep. We did what would normally be done, not the fit and finish of a whole campaign, but significantly getting you into the red zone, to use a football reference, in 60 minutes time. And I think it opened a lot of people's eyes, and I think it helped them understand that there are so many uses. There are a lot of applications for AI on the marketing side of the house for sure, but it's not just marketing. There are components of this that will fit into other parts of operations and human resources and all kinds of different things. I literally used it to build a company profile for a company that didn't have a company profile, but they've been in business for 10 years. And I just know enough about them. And then I went to their website and I just grabbed things that they've written about themselves and used ChatGPT-4 just yesterday to build an amazing profile for this company. And then beyond that, I went and did something that I think they were pretty shocked by, which was we said, hey, well, based on what you now know of this company, if this company wanted to transition from being this type of company into this type of company, because there is a bridge, how would they do that? And what was really cool about this yesterday is ChatGPT-4 didn't just build that company profile. When I asked it to tell me, you know, everything that it could think about that would make this company turn from this type of a company into like a SaaS type of company, it freaking blew my mind. So even when you're thinking about just ideation on whatever it might be, if you teach ChatGPT for, there's a lot of these AI tools that the more you prompt it, the more you teach it, the more you feed it, the better your outcomes are. So that was another one, the pop culture references, the marketing strategy of leveraging the Simpson brand, how it's nostalgic, how viral this type of stuff could be in social, and then the sustainability message of the EV Homer, just super hilarious. Anyway, so
hey guys, this episode is brought to you by Moto Hunt Premium. Moto Hunt Premium empowers power sports dealers with data and technology to give the best possible market advantage on every vehicle at your dealership. Moto Hunt Premium offers a suite of features such as real-time market analysis, inventory management, and up-to-date pricing guides like JD Power and NPA. Dealers love to leverage the platform to identify potential inventory risks and potential issues with your online listings. And it also helps to execute make and model strategies, enabling dealers to help move inventory faster and make more profit. To start leveraging our technology at your dealership, go to motohuntpremium.com. That's motohuntpremium.com to learn more and request a free inventory audit for your dealership today.
This was a very, very fun exercise. I have had Jacob, I think everybody from our group now has reached out to me some way, shape, or I don't think there's a single one of them that has not now reached out and said, that was awesome. Thanks for letting me participate, as if I could have stopped them. I wanted everyone to participate. It was a lot of fun. What were the things, did anything surprise you, I guess?
Well, it's always a little surprising stretching the capability of some of these programs, right? So yes, I've used Canva and ChatGPT, the paid version, which is only $20, by the way, pretty extensively for several months now. And it's not so much that I use it to do my work for me. I use it almost as an engine for my ideas. And it will kind of help spark somewhere where I want to go, because I think I'm a pretty creative individual naturally, but this just kind of helps, I mean, just juice me up a little bit more if I'm kind of hitting a roadblock. But the thing that struck me was using all of these systems interchangeably. And so we would kind of start something, like you said, in ChatGPT with a image or prompt, and then we would load that into Canva, and then we would load that into Gamma. And it would just be this cascading effect of all these AIs interacting with one another to kind of help build the overall project that we were trying to whip together literally in an hour, right? So it was surprising to me about how all of them interchange and kind of work with one another if you know how to bolt them to one another, if you will.
Yeah.
And so as we kind of talk about, you know, the end of our little segment here, obviously the Homer was a fun project to do. It's kind of silly. Somebody listening to this might be going, I'm not going to make a marketing campaign across the Homer, but how could maybe what we learned from this exercise, a digital dealer, how could we apply this to, you know, dealerships and maybe to help out with some of their marketing programs or campaigns, or like I said, spark an idea for a further or juiced up campaign that you might already have a little start of?
Well, you probably know this enough about me. I always like to kind of understand the kind of the personality needs and really what's keeping up, what's keeping that particular dealer up at night. And I recently, I say this a lot with car dealers, some of them, you know, I mean, I have car dealers within 30 miles of where I live that have, you know, 150 electric Ford vehicles on the ground that they can't sell because nobody wants them. So if I were going to think about, well, how would I tell a dealership like that to maybe do something with AI that could be helpful? I probably would actually, one, want to do an audit on, well, what are you guys doing right now on promotion content? What type of content do you have circulating? Where is it circulating on that? To see if you can actually drop some bait in ponds that maybe are not as big as, say, Google, but, you know, maybe might find some of your audience. But for me, it always starts with, well, what are the needs at that dealership? And if it's not, well, if they don't have a, you know, EVs we can't move problem, then they might have a, you know, economy's tightening. People don't want to make big purchases right now. So how could you use AI? And you could literally go into ChatGPT-4 and you could start a long series of prompts to have ChatGPT give you either thought starters, or if you wanted it to, it would literally give you new marketing taglines that would be appealing to people on the affordability of an electric vehicle that maybe they hadn't considered before. And it will start to, even if you don't use what it puts out word for word. And if you get good at prompting, you can use what it says word for word. There were countless vendors at Digital Dealer that I saw all their LinkedIn posts and I was like, oh, right. For right. me, that fatigues me already because I know they're all using ChatGPT to actually write all their social posts for LinkedIn and Facebook because they all look the same with rocket emojis and all the same, you know, so I'm like,
yep.
That always happens in every industry. But for the question you're asking, one, what are the problems or the solutions that a particular dealer needs? And so I'll just stay on the, hey, we're not having an issue with the EV sales. We're that's not our problem. Our problem is like the market has all of a sudden gotten really tight and people aren't buying. And maybe the sales cycles are grinding out, or maybe they don't have enough access to better interest rates or whatever it is. Then I'm probably going to start to use ChatGPT for first to build some profiles around what I want to start to say that's not being said in the marketplace specific to the problem that's happening. So maybe it's messaging that puts a wet blanket on people's fears of affordability. Affordability has been an issue that's been just rising all through COVID and beyond. So probably that's where I'll go first, but it's always going to be tied to what's really the problem at the dealership. So it has to go beyond, well, we just need to sell more cars. Okay. I get that. That's what I want to help with, but what cars and why aren't they selling is you got to ask some of those questions. So I know that sounds pretty surface level, but that could be one example for dealers right now that are feeling that pain point.
Yeah. And just to kind of recap from the Digital Dealer Show, there were a couple ones that I think that we used that maybe we didn't mention. So, you know, just to kind of recap on the ChatGPT, you know, to really get the best out of it, do the $20 paid version of it. Try to build in a good size prompt. You know, 500 words was what this gentleman said at the Digital Dealer Conference. But Gamma is good for presentations, right? So if you got something that you need to visually share, you can load in most of your prompts that you build from ChatGPT to this program. I was using Canva. What are some of the other ones you brought up? I don't recall the names right now, though.
Yeah, I'll give you a whole bunch. So I was actually thinking, you know, we could, on this episode, I could just open ChatGPT-4 and actually type something in and show it live.
I think we should do that on another one. I mean, we can spend a whole episode just going through some prompts on that.
Let's not call it a part two, but let's just talk about AI again. And we'll do a little bit of screen share where I'll like, this is because I was just thinking as I'm answering your question, I could have this thing go in and write me 13 social posts on how do I come up with better taglines and social posts that will get the attention of somebody who doesn't think they can afford an electric vehicle or something like that. And yep. it'll blow people's minds. You know this, not everyone knows this. So let's talk about tools. Did you mention Gamma? We did use Gamma. So Gamma is amazing. I mean, it will build presentations. It will build landing pages like that. Probably, actually, you know what? We should do a follow-up on this episode. And we should just do a show and tell. I'm happy to go into a lot of the tools that I use regularly and just do a show and tell. So Gamma, presentations, landing pages, excellent. If you're going to do a lot of heavy, if you're doing a lot of writing, ChatGPT is a great place to start stuff. But for example, you can go and this, and I tell people this all the time, we don't use AI in any way where it gets to just 100% run the show. So no. It might help speed up some workflows, but we still have to go in from a quality control perspective. That's all human, right? It still has to be. Is extremely important. We do a lot of video content creation. So we use AI within, I know you are a Canva user. We don't use Canva, not because we don't like it, just because we've used other things for so long. But just about every AI video tool out there we have used. Some of them we still use because, and I've told you this, but for whoever is listening to this, it's been difficult to for especially for video editors to find one AI video editing tool that does everything you want it to do. So it might do a pretty good job of actually taking long form video content and cutting up some pieces, but where it makes those cuts is never perfect, but it's close enough. So, you know, what's the expression? Don't let good enough be the enemy of perfect be the enemy of good enough. Right. So it's, you could define it that way, but then some of them aren't good with transcription. Some of them don't allow you to edit enough within fonts or color choices. And if you're doing this on behalf of clients like Hired Guns does, those clients oftentimes are going to say, well, I don't want the yellow highlight. I want it to be our specific color blue. Use our company blue color for that. And so you will find within some of the editing tools that you might have to play with a lot of them before they find the ones that you like. But we use Veed, which is two E's, VEED.io.
Veed, yep.
We use Momento. We use video.ai. We use CapCut. We, gosh, there's...
Grammarly was another one for
Grammarly good content. Grammarly is great. Yep. They've been out there a long time. They've only gotten better. On most of my, you know, for people that are not using, that don't like taking notes, get into Otter or Firefly.
Otter.
I use Otter, but Firefly really is kind of the same. There are at least a half a dozen tools like Otter. What's Otter? Otter has an application for your phone. So if you're walking around a conference or you're at a 20 group or you're just in some place where you're going to have conversations that you'd like to capture, Otter will capture that on your phone. It'll just listen. And then you can go to your recorded conversations on Otter and it will summarize that for you. It will actually extract the action items and assign them to whoever was on the call. Otter is also an application that you can put on and it will actually become a guest on every single Google Meet, Zoom call, all of your video calls, and it will do the same thing. It'll sit there and listen, and then you'll have a summary of that conversation, and then you can build tasks from what was discussed. Very, very helpful tool. That's not really a marketing tool. That's just an organization efficiency tool that I think a lot of people would enjoy. We used Jasper when it first came out as Jarvis, and then they got the cease and desist and had to change the name to Jasper. We used Jasper when it was brand new, and it was okay, but it still was too clunky. They've gotten better over time, kind of like Canva. They didn't wait to start. They weren't afraid of, well, like, things aren't all perfect. It was good enough. And Canva and Jarvis or Jasper now both have gotten really good at what they do. They're different. But you've got, have you heard of Mixo? M-I-X-O? If you want to get into building startup type ideas that have a website tied to them very quickly, that is a super fun AI tool to play with, because if you want to build a quick website, but and it looks good, but it's informed, it's amazing. There is, for people that are not using like Chrome extensions, there's a Chrome extension for YouTube summaries that I highly recommend, that you can go in and add very, very easily to what you're doing. I think that it's hold on, I'll tell you what it's called. It's Glass.
It's called
GLASP. Yeah, TubeBuddy, and there's some other tools out there, yeah, that are super cool. And we've used TubeBuddy for other things on analytics out of particular, right, YouTube videos. But if you want to be able to do quick summaries of something that you see on YouTube, so just imagine, you know, those long 3-hour episodes of Joe Rogan that you're like, man, I loved it. That was freaking awesome. I want to get a summary of that. Well, even better than that, you can not only do a summary of that, but you can have that thing turned into segments and broken down into bullet points. And so that is a really helpful tool that we use as a Chrome extension inside any type of YouTube video. And if you need to take something that, you know, you were inspired by from a video perspective, but now it needs to turn into some sort of written form of content, or you want to turn it into action items or even learning, like you were going to, like, you know, I'm going to turn this into like a training piece. Mm-hmm. Really, really good for that stuff. And then there were a couple others. Hold on, because there are so many, and I know we're short on time, but I would also recommend to people, well, we're using the Riverside platform, which Riverside does use AI for enhancement around audio and video capture if you're doing a lot of audio and video recordings. And it also does have some built-in functionality that's AI driven around chopping pieces of this very episode into smaller form content. And what was the other one that I thought people would really, I think I mentioned CapCut. If you do a lot of video editing, I would highly recommend checking out the web version, the desktop version, because CapCut's really, really popular on mobile phones. Yep. But the desktop version of it is pretty awesome. If you're also doing a lot of heavy video stuff, I would recommend looking at designs.ai. Designs.ai will do a whole lot of creation on. There's some similar things to it with Canva. And then Designer is another one. If you do a whole lot of heavy writing, that's another one that if you're doing like white pages or white papers, you could use it for one pagers for sure. But if you're doing things that are like 3 to 5 pages, a true white page, so it's not deep level research, but enough, that's a great tool for that. Ebook creation. So if you're in the agency model like Hired Guns is, where we have the ability to create a lot of written content. So if somebody wants case studies, that type of thing, if they want ebooks, those types of tools are great for that. But there's so much. And I think on the next episode that we talk about all this stuff, I think it would be really helpful to actually bring up a few. And I wouldn't mind, maybe you bring up a few of your favorites and I'll bring up a few of my favorites and we'll just do quick show and tells on maybe a half a dozen of the ones we love the most.
I think that's a good promotion for catching the next show. I mean, we went over, a dozen different programs that are widely in use, but like the theme of the podcast that I like to put out there is how are these real life applications for the dealership and the people that work in them, right? So I think on that next show, we maybe come up with almost a mini AI hackathon for just the two of us, and we go through a couple scenarios, power sports dealer and car dealer, and we kind of come up with a couple of objectives that we want to hit, and we use some of these tools to do it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that'd be great. And I think on that episode, maybe one of the things that we do in the early part of it is also help people understand, there are two very significant marketing streams. I mean, the marketers call them B2B and B2C. Yep. But especially the more people that I talk to that are on the retail side of automotive or retail side of power sports, unless you're in the marketing world and you're kind of the agency world, people know that that's the same thing as here in the jargon of SEO, SEM, CRM, BDC. Like, you get all these acronyms in automotive. Lots of industries have them. But from a marketing perspective, I think it might be really good to help people understand some of the differences, because they're really important, right? On the B2B side, there are components that exist that don't exist when you're just marketing directly to the consumer, right? If I get you interested in coming in to buy a new Honda because you're going to keep riding red, you're going to come right into the business and you're going to work with an associate that's going to sell you that bike right then and there, right? That's going to happen. On the B2B side, a lot of the marketing things that we set up, we're trying to establish like market qualified leads, right? More MQLs and then SQLs, sales qualified leads. There's a whole different process about how that all happens. And I think that would be helpful for people to understand. And it might actually be helpful for people on the retail side, when people from the vendor side cross the streams, because it'll get confusing and you'll think that you should be chasing something that really it's like, no, you're making it more difficult than you need to. So I think if we set a foundation like that and then go through some tools and just do a little mini hack, yeah, I think people would love it.
Let's do it, man. Well, for everybody listening, stay tuned for the next episode with Sean Raines and Jacob Berry, where we'll do some live examples of our little mini AI hackathon there for anybody looking to see what these tools are all about from a couple guys that have experienced it, in real life applications for their consumer base. And maybe you get some good tips out of that.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and end it there, my friend. It was good catching up with you, and I'm glad we got to start out this one of maybe a few or a couple future series where we can, you know, spread some love and some knowledge out there into the interwebs, and anybody listening, hopefully they get some good value out of it.
Yeah, it's been great. Really appreciate the time, and look forward to the next one. Until then.
Yes, sir. Until then. Bye, everybody.
See you later.